New contracts announced by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, a wrinkle in the draft plans, and a two-round mock draft from Todd McShay. All of that right now on the Locked On Bucs podcast.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I'm David Harris and my co-host James Jarko, not here for this episode. But you can find both of us covering your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Find me at BucsGameDay.com. Find James Jarko at BucsNation.com when we aren't there. Or here you can find us on Twitter at JRCO_Bucks, at DHarrison82, and at Locked On Bucks. Thanks again for making us your first listener, your first view every single day. The Buccaneers added safety depth on Wednesday, and it all but eliminates the team from Tyrann Mathieu competition. The team signing veteran safety Keanu Neal, who James himself had actually brought up earlier this week as a potential option to land with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That new deal, 1 year. No financials known at the time of this recording, but I'm sure we'll find those out fairly soon. And it really adds to the depth. Logan Ryan is a guy that the Buccaneers signed. A lot of us kind of consider him a quarterback, but Todd Bowles did say that he is a safety in the scheme. Antoine Winfield Jr., Mike Edwards, also still on the roster, obviously, and the NFL draft still coming, where the team could choose to address the position group or the secondary as a whole later on this month. Keanu Neal played linebacker in Dallas for the Dallas Cowboys and former Atlanta Falcons head coach Dan Quinn, who is the defensive coordinator in Dallas. Neal followed him to Dallas from Atlanta after both of them wrapped up their 2020 season with the Falcons. Again, played linebacker in 2021 for Quinn and his Dallas defense, but was a safety before that from 2016 when he was a first-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons until, like I said, that 2020 season, which was his last in Atlanta. He's going to be 27 this year. He was a Pro Bowler in 2017. The Buccaneers also re-signed veteran quarterback Blaine Gabbert, a little bit of a surprise move from a lot of us when Ryan Griffin was re-signed. Most people kind of thought that might just be the end of it. Kyle Trask steps into that number two role, and Ryan Griffin maybe steps into that number three, but appears that Blaine Gabbert is going to return. Of course, before his own retirement, Bruce Arians had on multiple occasions praised Blaine Gabbert for his veteran presence and his help in bringing Kyle Trask up to speed. Now the Buccaneers have a depth chart of Tom Brady, Blaine Gabbert, or Kyle Trask. I suppose we'll find out which one is number two, which one's number three, and then Ryan Griffin is assumed, right, to basically be your emergency quarterback, practice squad guy if those rules still apply. So no, the Buccaneers not expected to draft a quarterback, obviously, in this year's NFL draft. Would be a very big surprise if they did. And then as far as the safety position, Tyrann Mathieu, visiting the New Orleans Saints earlier this week, and then on Wednesday earlier, before the Keanu Neal deal was announced, we found out through Ian Rappaport that Tyrann has been working out with Alex Guerrero, who is also Tom Brady's trainer. So some connections between Tyrann and the Buccaneers coaching staff, and then obviously you have the connections through the trainer between Tyrann Mathieu and Tom Brady. So some excitement potentially building up that maybe Tyrann was going to join the Tampa Bay Buccaneers roster, but now with Keanu Neal, again, never say never, I suppose, but it does appear anyway that Tyrann Mathieu probably not going to be joining the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here in the 2021 season. So that's the latest news and updates coming out of the Advent Health Training Center there, Buccaneers headquarters at One Buck Place. But it wasn't the only news happening this week. James kind of already touched on it. He touched on the trade between the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm going to dive a little bit deeper into it on what it means for those teams and what it means for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we're going to do that thanks to our friends over at betonline.net, who is your number one source for all your sports betting needs and your information needs. All the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues in season, are on betonline.net. It's your continued source for all your sports wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. So head to that website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. Thanks again, Bucs fans, for making the Locked On Bucs podcast your first listen or your first view of the day. I am David Harrison. We thank you again for joining the Locked On Bucs podcast. Find me on Twitter at DHarrison82, and the show is at Locked On Bucs. Make sure you're also following Locked On NFL. Locked On experts covering the biggest stories around the NFL every Monday through Friday. in less than 30 minutes, free and available wherever you get podcasts, just like this one. A little bit of a shorter first segment, kind of getting the news and the announcements done and finished here so we can dive into the meat of today's episode. We're going to talk about this trade between the New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles and what it means for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Again, James kind of gave his thoughts on what it might mean on yesterday's episode. So if you missed those and you want to hear from James on the trade, by all means, please go check out that episode once you're done here. But I'm going to dive a little bit into what I think it means, first of all, and then we're going to dive a little bit into what it means for the Buccaneers, specifically, and how it's going to impact the NFL draft and their strategy, specifically at number 27. And then, of course, obviously, what happens at number 27 will impact what happens as the weekend moves on and on. So first things first, for those unfamiliar, the New Orleans Saints now have two first-round draft picks. The Philadelphia Eagles also have two first-round draft picks. They had three. One of those goes to the New Orleans Saints. So now both these teams, each of them are one of eight teams that have multiple draft picks in the first round, which would be an NFL record if all of those eight teams use those multiple selections. If not adding more teams that have multiple selections, that would be an NFL draft record, which would also mean we'd have the most amount of teams. I think it sits at seven right now that have no picks in the first round of the NFL draft. That too would be a record. Of course, teams always can trade back in, teams can trade out, especially the Kansas City Chiefs, Green Bay Packers have two picks more towards the end of the NFL draft first round. So you never know what's going to happen with those picks. But looking at the Saints and the Eagles, right? So first and foremost, all four of these picks between the Eagles and the Saints are going to happen, are going to come off the board before where the Buccaneers sit right now, which again is number 27 in the first round of the NFL draft. So unless the Buccaneers orchestrate a trade up, which I don't know how much I would anticipate that possibly happening, the Eagles and the Saints are going to pick before the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, why does that matter? Well, because simply every single pick that happens before the Buccaneers pick is one more player off the board, obviously, that the Buccaneers can't choose, right? So in this year's draft, you look at the team needs, and there are some varying opinions over here, right? You got offensive line, specifically interior, the defensive line, tight end, wide receiver, defensive backs. Some, even with the signing of Keanu Neal, would probably still say safety. Cornerback is obviously a position that a lot of people want to see the Buccaneers draft a player in. So a lot of positional needs, potentially a lot of directions the Buccaneers could potentially go at number 27, but they don't need a quarterback. So in this year's draft, and I mean running backs, I don't think anybody's expecting a running back to go in the first round, but in this year's draft specifically, more than maybe any other, you want teams drafting quarterbacks. You want teams drafting maybe tackles because your team doesn't really need a tackle, or you want teams drafting players at positions that you don't need. So when we look at the Eagles' needs and we look at the Saints' needs, we look for comparisons, we look for what each team needs, right? So the Philadelphia Eagles, New Orleans Saints, one thing they have in common with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they need defensive linemen, whether it's for depth, whether it's for upfront starters. Again, we'll see what happens with Ndamukong Suh. I expect that we'll have a decision made there before the beginning of the NFL draft. But either way, the Eagles and the Saints are both going to go into day one of the NFL draft needing defensive line support. They could both also use a wide receiver or two, even potentially, in this year's NFL draft, something that the Buccaneers also need. Now, you look at the Eagles, they could use some defensive backs. They could use some secondary help. So the Buccaneers also need that as well. And you look at the Saints, really their offensive line, if you're going to prioritize, you're probably looking offensive tackle. That doesn't bite into the potential draft class that the Buccaneers would have their eyes on at number 27. So up front, I don't expect either of these teams to go after a quarterback. For the Philadelphia Eagles, I think this is all about loading the team, loading the roster with talent, seeing what you can get out of Jalen Hurts as a starter for 2022, and then deciding after that if you think Jalen Hurts has what it takes to be your quarterback moving forward, or if you need to reinvest in a quote-unquote better quarterback draft class in 2023. But either way, I think the Philadelphia Eagles use this draft capital, use these picks to bolster their roster instead of replacing Jalen Hurts. So the New Orleans Saints, they have Jameis Winston that they just brought back. They made the pursuit for Deshaun Watson. So obviously they were looking for a little bit more of a home run at the quarterback position, but they bring back Jameis. Again, I don't view any of these quarterbacks as a home run. I don't think anybody really views any of these quarterbacks as a home run. So I think if you're the New Orleans Saints, you're probably in the same boat. You're going to roll forward with Jameis Winston. You're going to see what you can put on the field, talent-wise. And you're going to see if Jameis can show you that he can drive the ship to where you want it to be. If not, then again, same thing. 2023, maybe you come back. I mean, the Saints don't have a lot of draft capital in 2023 anymore. So trading up is going to be difficult to do there. which could lead to the argument that maybe the Saints go quarterback. So if the Saints go quarterback, yay, hooray, everybody's happy because that's one more position player, whether it be a wide receiver, a DB, or a defensive lineman, that the Buccaneers could possibly use in at pick number 27 that the Saints don't take. But worst case scenario, again, Saints and the Eagles could both use defensive linemen. They could both use DBs. They could both use wide receivers. So worst case scenario, they both teams take players that the Buccaneers could have their eyes on. And I'm looking specifically at Devontae Wyatt out of Georgia, Jordan Davis out of Georgia, both defensive linemen. Jordan Davis, I don't believe, is on the Buccaneers draft radar anyway because he doesn't really fit what they need on the defensive front. So taking Jordan Davis off the board doesn't necessarily take a player the Buccaneers would want to draft off of the board, but more so takes a player at a position that another team may want to draft. So now they come down, maybe they take a receiver or a DB, something like that. And then if you look at the wide receivers that are typically available around this period, you're looking at Chris Olave out of Ohio State. You're looking at Treylon Burks out of Arkansas. So worst case scenario, the Saints and the Eagles basically team up and they take two defensive linemen. They take two wide receivers off the board. So you lose Wyatt, you lose Davis, you lose Olave, and you lose Treylon Burks. So I went through the ramifications of this and studied mock drafts and studied draft boards and what people are saying and people are thinking. I basically came up with five options at number 27 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that I believe are most likely to occur. One of those options, I'm going to list them really in no specific order. I'm going to save the biggest one for last because it really is. It's one position group, but it has multiple players, right? So if you go defensive back, I mean, if you're looking for a safety, so if Keanu Neal is kind of viewed as a role player versus more of a straight up starter, maybe the Tampa Bay Buccaneers go and look for day one talent to potentially come in and be the main starting safety there to replace Jordan Whitehead. Again, Todd Bowles going on the radio during the weekend or over the weekend and saying that Logan Ryan, while he does view him as a safety in the scheme, not a one-for-one, quote-unquote, direct replacement for Jordan Whitehead. If that's the case, then maybe the team is still out there looking for their Jordan Whitehead replacement. Georgia's safety, Lewis Cine, very, very possible, very likely to be on the board still. Now, again, with evaluations, a lot is in the eye of the beholder. I've seen some evaluations and some mock drafts that have him more towards the middle of the second round and some that he's kind of have him here towards the back end of the first round. So it's really going to depend on what the Buccaneers do and how they see his value. Again, Lewis Cine, safety out of Georgia. So that's one option. Another option, sticking with the defensive back group, Kaiir Elam, cornerback. If the Eagles don't take a corner, if the Saints don't take a corner, then perhaps Kaiir Elam, 6'2", Florida Gator defensive back, going to have a conversation with Brandon Olson, Locked On Gators podcast. We're going to talk about Kaiir and some other things Florida Gator related, Tampa Bay Buccaneers related. That will be dropping for you Saturday, a special bonus episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast. So Kaiir Elam does figure to be a potential option, again, depending on how the Saints and the Eagles go. They could also both go DB, defensive line, DB, wide receiver, whatever combination. But Kaiir Elam, not as coveted a player as maybe a Devontae Wyatt or a Chris Olave has been amongst Bucs Nation. So I went, when I decided what worst case scenario was, I went with kind of the most coveted. And yeah, Zion Johnson's on that list. Obviously, he's another potential option that could be available at number five. The Boston College offensive lineman, a lot of Bucs fans have voiced their interest in seeing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers add him to the offensive line and kind of go in there like we talked about earlier this week, compete with Alex Kappa, compete with Shaq Mason, and may the best two offensive guards be on the field. And then you also have edge rusher. A little bit less likely to happen. I don't believe the Buccaneers would probably turn to the edge 2 years in a row in the first round, especially with Joe Tryon-Schwenka showing so much potential in 2021 and Shaq Barrett, obviously, being on the other side. And you never know, JPP, maybe they decide to bring him back after the draft or shortly beforehand on a very, very friendly veteran deal. But if the Buccaneers are interested in edge, Boye Mafe out of Minnesota still figures to be on the board. Very talented young man who come in, be a role player, maybe tag team that opposite starting job, opposite Shaq Barrett with JTS and present some problems there. And then you have wide receiver. And really, it's kind of a pick your poison type of situation. If Olave's off the board, if Burks is off the board, Garrett Wilson's off the board, Jameson Williams probably is figured to be off the board. You're looking at guys like wide receiver Sky Moore, who is kind of has skyrocketed, not trying to be funny, but he's kind of skyrocketed up boards recently. Really was kind of like a third round draft pick when we first started talking about him. Then he kind of eked his way into earlier part of day two. Now he's getting some day one buzz, depending on how fast these wide receivers go. You also have Jahan Dotson, Penn State wide receiver, who ran a little bit slower at the NFL scouting combine than people really expected him to. His shine has kind of fallen off a little bit. Not saying that he's falling off, but the love affair and the hype for him ahead of the NFL draft has kind of dwindled down a little bit. So he figures to also be there at number 27. And one of my favorite guys, perhaps my favorite draft prospect in this group, just for his potential and upside, North Dakota State wide receiver Christian Watson. So if you want the short, really fast twitch, kind of short intermediate area part of the field and deep ball threat, Sky Moore, it's kind of your guy. Jahan Dotson's a little bit more of a physical blend, and you can get some of that quickness out of him, but just not quite as quick probably as Sky Moore is. And then Christian Watson, like I said, I've kind of described him as a blend between Mike Evans. He's 6'4". He's got some length, some physicality, some ability to stretch out there, but he's also got more speed than Mike. So a little bit more of a Chris Godwin in that aspect, and a little bit more of a three-level player than some of these other guys are. So those are kind of your three wide receiver options. So all in a nutshell, does the Eagles and Saints trade impact the Buccaneers' draft strategy? Absolutely it does, because, again, there are several similar type needs that the Eagles and the Saints both have. Obviously, the Eagles, at one point, they have three picks, right? But you figure the Eagles aren't going to go corner, corner, D-line, or D-line, D-line, wide receiver, corner. They're going to spread out their picks. So even if they take D-line, wide receiver, secondary, three areas that you as the Buccaneers need, you're only losing one of each, right? But now with the Saints in the mix, you could lose two D-linemen. You might lose two wide receivers off this board. So looking at those options and those combinations kind of gives you an idea of what five options, and that's just how I've decided to dwindle it down, is to five potential outcomes at pick number 27. Safety, Lewis Cine, cornerback, Kaiir Elam, guard, Zion Johnson, edge, Boye Mafe, or one wide receiver between Sky Moore, Jahan Dotson, and Christian Watson. So really, it's kind of like seven options, but I call it five just because of position groups. Either way, the Buccaneers are going to be good at number 27. And oh, by the way, the extra option, right, number eight or number six, however you want to classify it, they could always trade back. And James and I will talk about some trade back options and potential as we get closer to the NFL draft as well. But talking about predicting how all this might go and projecting how these things might fall out, Todd McShay of ESPN, ESPN Plus specifically, has been one of the more popular names in that field and in that business. And he dropped a fresh two-round mock draft. And who he has going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers might interest you, because it might speak a little bit to what he expects to happen in the very near future for your team, coming up right here on the Locked On Bucs podcast. Segment three here on a Thursday, Locked On Bucs podcast. David Harrison, your solo host on Twitter at dharrison82, the show at Locked On Bucs. My co-host James Yarko can be found at jyarko_bucs. Mock draft Thursday. It's draft season, guys. We're in the, not the final stretch, but close to the final stretch, the final couple laps here before we get to the NFL draft. So we're going to have more and more mock drafts kind of firing off. James and I will be doing some of our own mock drafts. If you've got mock drafts, please shoot them in. We've got one in the email that we're going to get to hopefully tomorrow. We're going to talk about that. But Mr. Todd McShay, ESPN, ESPN Plus specifically, for those of you who pay for the service and for those of you who don't, I got your back. I'm going to drop it, drop some information. I'm going to drop all the picks, but he did do a full two-round mock draft. I will drop the top five. We'll talk about the Buccaneers picks, and we'll look at the NFC South rivals. So starting off with the top five, number one, the Jacksonville Jaguars take Michigan edge rusher Aiden Hutchinson. At number two, Detroit takes Georgia edge rusher Trevon Walker. At number three, Houston takes Oregon edge rusher Kayvon Thibodeau. Edge. Lack of quarterbacks. Go get the pass rushers. That's what is happening right now in the NFL. We got three edge rushers to start off this mock draft. Number four, the New York Jets go a different route. They go wide receiver Garrett Wilson out of Ohio State, the first wide receiver off the board. Number five to the New York Giants, Ike Mukwanu, offensive tackle out of NC State. So we got three pass rushers, one playmaker, and one pass protector in the top five. It is a passing league, full stop. Tampa Bay Buccaneers moving down to number 27. Todd did have trades in this mock draft, but he did not have the Buccaneers trading up or down from number seven. Instead, he has them sticking, and he has the worst case scenario not happening that we just talked about. Instead, Devontae Wyatt last. The New Orleans Saints and the Philadelphia Eagles do not deplete the defensive line group. Instead, Devontae Wyatt out of Georgia lands with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at number 27. The streets and the people rejoice. And then the second round at number 60, tight end Greg Dulcich out of UCLA. Shout out to our guy, JC Cornell. He'll be very happy with the Collegiate Alliance of the pick. What does this mean about Todd McShay's expectations for Rob Gronkowski? Obviously, he thinks that the Buccaneers are going to need a tight end sooner rather than later from this selection. There are no first-round tight ends. You're not going to take Greg Dulcich, number 27. You're not going to take Trey Burke or Trey McBride, rather, at number 27 either. So Greg Dulcich in the second round, a good pick for a tight end. But it does mean that he may be anticipating the Buccaneers having to run out there with Dulcich as their number two, Cambray as your number one, and they'll see what happens moving forward. Hopefully, you're getting Rob Gronkowski back for another year and all these games can stop being played. Hopefully, they are just games. Hopefully, Gronk is just having a good time at everybody's expense. Either way, I do expect that we will have a final decision from Rob Gronkowski before the NFL draft. Honestly, before the week of the NFL draft, I don't think he lets them get out of that weekend prior to that Monday of draft week without knowing his intentions. Just from a strategic standpoint, he's going to understand how important that is. Looking at the NFC South rivals and what Todd McShay sends to their teams, New Orleans Saints, speaking of not depleting the defensive line front, they did take a defensive lineman. They took Jordan Davis out of Georgia at number 19. Number 16, however, before that, they take offensive tackle Trevor Penning out of Northern Iowa. That is a good thing for the Bucs because, again, no tackles needed in the first round of this one for the Buccaneers. So anytime you see a team taking a position you don't need or your team doesn't need, that is cause for celebration. Number 49 in the second round, the New Orleans Saints get their wide receiver, John Mechie III, out of Alabama to join Michael Thomas and quarterback Jameis Winston. The Atlanta Falcons and their three picks in the first two rounds. At number 8, they take wide receiver Drake London out of USC. And then in the second rounds at number 43, they take safety Lewis Cine. So again, talking about seeing Lewis Cine a little bit of everywhere. I've seen him at 27 to the Buccaneers, and now you have him here at 43 to the New Orleans Saints out of Georgia. And then number 48, Todd McShay has the Atlanta Falcons involved in a trade. They move, they get quarterback Sam Howell out of North Carolina. The Carolina Panthers only have one pick in the first two rounds. Good luck to you, Matt Rhule, in saving your coaching career for right now. Number 6 overall, they take quarterback Kenny Pickett, going with the classic, I'm a head coach whose job is in trouble, so I'm going to take a rookie and hope to do enough with that rookie to inspire ownership to keep me around for one more year. Good luck to you. We'll see how it works, especially facing the NFC South. A little bit more of draft news. Texas A&M running back Isaiah Spiller recently scheduled for a top 30 visit with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He is not in Todd McShay's two-round mock draft. In fact, most mocks, most rankings, position group boards, or whatever you want to call it, that I'm seeing have Isaiah Spiller, again, for out of Texas A&M, going in the late third, early fourth in most of these mock drafts. So potentially Isaiah Spiller getting some interest from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to maybe join the stable. Leonard Fournette, Keyshawn Vaughn, Gio Bernard, and Isaiah Spiller potentially filling out the Buccaneers draft room. So that is how Todd McShay sees the latest shakeups impacting things. So for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, not business as usual, right? Still a little bit of shakeup there with these new trades. But for the most part, you can be confident that if the Buccaneers, if Jason Light and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers stick at number 27, you have a very good chance of getting a potential playmaker, impact player trying to get back to the Super Bowl. And look, if some of these teams get desperate and trade up and you see three or four quarterbacks come off the board in the first round, it's probably going to happen, two or three of them before pick 27. That's going to push players down the board. Again, the Buccaneers will be very thankful for all of those efforts, as we are thankful for you making the Locked On Bucs podcast your first listen or your first view of the day. For your second listen now, please check out the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Ryan Tracy and former NFL cornerback Eric Crocker bring the NFL draft live every day with insight and analysis on college football prospects and NFL front offices, free and available wherever you get podcasts. James and I will be back tomorrow to wrap up the week. Again, we've got a mock draft in the email that we're going to get to. If you've got questions, mock drafts you want to submit, or topics you want to talk about, send them in to LockedOnBucsPodcast@gmail.com or call in and be a part of the show by dialing 813-444-5841. Again, that number, 813-444-5841. For James Jarko, I'm Dave Harrison. Until we speak again, make sure you're checking out everything we're writing over at BucsNation.com for James and at BucsGameDay.com. For me, find us on Twitter as well at DHarrison82, at JR_Bucks, and at LockedOnBucks. If you're out about, please be safe, be kind to one another, wash your hands, fire the cannons, and thank you for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.